'Tis Monday, me lord.
'Tis Monday in the great kingdom of something.
Blessed be the day of the moon. May it shine its bounty upon us.
Only in that accent.
I don't even know it. No one knows anymore.
No one knows what that accent is. It's the fairy tale accent.
I want to think it's a third generation Lithuanian Irish person who spent the last 10 years living in England, who works at a Renaissance festival's accent.
That's good. We can go with that. I like that.
Just to put up episode 240. That's a good, that's a solid number.
That is a very solid number.
Stalwart but crafty. Yeah. And we're continuing. This might be the first time we've ever carried over.
Well, because we just didn't have but we didn't really have a full week last week.
I know. So. I mean,
so last week was like the introduction. It was like the pre-lead up to the big week.
Yes, the Force Awakens.
There we go.
Whatever prequel, I can't remember. I don't freaking remember anything.
Oh, hey, I had a major robot bird revelation yesterday.
Tell me.
So, Deborah and I went walking in this really nice park that's north of the cities, and there was this eagle. Of course, it wasn't a real eagle. No, it's a robot.
It was a robot. Yeah.
Circling at this incredible height. I mean, it was so high up. I don't know. I'm sure it was at least a quarter of a mile up, but it may have been even more. I mean, you could barely see it. And I realized, so what it's doing, it's serving as the satellite link for all the robots on the ground in that whole region can upload to the Eagle and then link to the satellite. And so that's why the Eagles have to do that, because they serve as that uplink for the rest of the robot birds.
So I just realized something.
Okay.
Are fish just the submarine versions of robot birds?
Ooh, they could be.
I mean, there's an Air Force, there's a Navy.
That's right.
And then, are there ground forces? Or do the birds do
maybe everything? No, I think the birds have the ground covered pretty well. Yeah.
I mean, because there's some hummingbirds get in pretty damn close.
Yeah. Stuff. Yeah.
Well, and then there are the insects, which are kind of.
Yeah.
That's a whole.
The insects are the next generation.
Yeah. Wow. Boom.
Yeah. Robots everywhere.
Yeah. Robot turtles all the way down.
Robot turtles.
All the way down. We're not talking about robot birds, though, this week. We're talking about...
we're always talking about robot birds.
That's the general overarching theme. The specific theme is socialization, particularly around gender.
Yeah.
Gender formation, blah, blah, blah. And then it's adjacent fields. But before we dive in, and we have comments coming in, but... I'm Ash Van Steenwyck. I direct the Center for Prophetic Imagination.
And I'm Daniel Wolpert. I direct MICA, the Minnesota Institute of Contemplation and Healing.
And I just want to get something out of the way, because a lot of people pronounce my name Ashe, and then I've had a couple people accuse me of appropriating the Yoruba culture, and I'm like, no, this is a Scandinavian version of Ash. It's just Ash, like the tree with an E at the end.
Yes.
It's not Ashe, so... It's okay if you call me Ashe and you wonder, but just so you know, it's Ash, everyone.
Okay. Do you sashay down the aisle?
I always sashay.
There you go.
That's how I knew I was trans. It was a clue. There's a few. Let's just get Ellen's comments up in here.
Yeah, Ellen's rocking.
Ellen writes, finally, after several months, I caught a live opening sequence. Good morning.
All right.
I'm multigender, including trigender. Interesting. I'd love to hear about spiritual formation and gender because mystical experience is related to my personal understanding.
Yes.
Or just came out swinging, metaphorically speaking. Ellen writes, gnats are the new robot birds. Yeah, they're like The tech isn't there. But once the quantum computing can be put into those NATs,
yeah,
I don't know what really any of that means. Robot Turtles is a kids' board game teaching kids how to code. That's how they get them. That's how we normalize it.
You gotta start early.
Kids grow up thinking, oh, they're just robots surveying me, and I don't even feel disturbed by it because I was taught by a game.
In fact, I coded them to spy on me. This is a modern version of, like, you know, going out to the woods and getting the switch with which your evil parent beats you with. You code your own robots to spy on you.
You just defined what the principalities and powers are.
There we go. Wow. Right there.
We're just going all over the place, covering everything.
We're rocking. Okay, so I had another sort of opening direction here, but I think we should pick up on what Alan's talking about.
I want to know what trigender and multigender means, because, like, I can guess, and I could pull up the queer wiki entry on this stuff, right. But it gets interesting. So
if you want to say more. So Alan could share about that, but I'm just interested in the spiritual formation and gender, and and this is something we've brought this up in relation to a number of other issues. The fact that formation in general causes us to think that however the world is in our lifetime is some absolute solid reality, you know, that God has somehow ordained on earth, right? Like, capitalism is the only way to have a good society, we think, those of us that have grown up in dominant culture America over the last 60-70 years, we think that the Leave It to Beaver family is, like, the only way, you know, like, this is always the way families have been, and this is always the way societies have been. And we even, like, project this back into the Bible. You know, this is the biblical nuclear family, which literally does not exist in the Bible.
Right? Well, and there's also this kind of adjacent idea that kind of reinforces it, that somehow, and this, you know, comes from the Enlightenment, the further back you go, it's just like this, but more conservative and in all the ways that
right.
we are conservative.
Right. And then even better.
So it's just like whatever we have now that we think of conservative, it was just always more conservative in the past.
Right. Right. But of course, this is nonsense. And, to Ellen, to your point, in many, many cultures and societies, folks who we now talk about as being trans or multigender or all of that have always been recognized as existing. And in many of those societies, those folks actually are seen as, very specifically and clearly, spiritual teachers, spiritual guides, people who have access to a kind of greater, broader knowledge because of their own fluidity. This is very well known and very, as I said, common and in many ways accepted in many, many cultures throughout human history. And what's unfortunate is that, you know, particularly in, you know, as a little prelude to Fascism Friday, particularly the more rigid and fascistic your society gets, you want to blot all of that out, right? And pretend that none of that history existed, none of that reality existed. It's not possible, you know, and if it did exist, it's certainly bad. But that's just not true. I mean, that's just not true.
Like, and within, you start talking about the Christian mystical tradition, it's fascinating because it's not exactly like Middle Ages. They were like, trans is great. But what they were doing is there was this assumption that spiritual experience transgresses norms. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is why mysticism is always problematic, is because there's this deep understanding that any sort of rules we follow, you know, kind of like Paul's teaching about, you know, the law being a tutor, it's there to kind of help keep things going. But like, if you get to a point, a more of a unit of experience, rules don't quite apply to you. Like there's some of that. Plus this idea that, that like you have these female figures who are considered holy so much so that we'll almost consider them a brother. And then you have these men having mystical experiences where they're being, you know, almost impregnated. So like there's this fluid shifting and this recognition that any good man should have a feminine spiritual experience with the divine, and any holy woman should have, you know, there's kind of these sorts of things. All it's all in there. We're not, none of this is being made up.
Right.
So of course, if we take that and then bring that into the conversation around what we think of in terms of formation, spiritual formation, the idea of identity, how take the insights that gender is performative and a social construct, then all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, this stuff, we can't, it's anachronistic to say all this stuff is queer the way we mean it, but it's definitely had a queering force in our trajectory.
Yeah, and then you have very interesting, you know, specific examples. And I know a while back I mentioned that, you know, in the genetic, modern genetic scientific world, there's been knowledge of all kinds of different genotypes and phenotypes for a long, long time, right? And there's this one very interesting XY variant that's mostly found on, it's an island, I believe it's in the Mediterranean, but it might be off in the Atlantic, just off of Europe or Africa, where people are born looking biologically female. And then at puberty, they change to being biologically male. And, you know, so this is something that this culture has lived with and known about. And you didn't of course, you know, before genetic testing, they wouldn't know which babies who were born who looked female were going to have this this situation. And so these people were revered as being very special within this culture, right? And this notion that, you know, they could be both these genders, both psychologically and then literally biologically. And this was something that was really embraced as a reality of how to be human in the world. And as I said, I mean, this is just one example, but, you know, people have been working with the fluidity of gender for the majority of history, right? It really, you know, I think one of the things that we need to start thinking about our own formation is that we are the abnormal ones, right? Like our society is the abnormal variant in human history, where there is this incredible idea of rigidity of gender and sexuality, and that everything else is categorically bad. That's abnormal in the human experience. And you know, and of course you tell this to some conservative fundamentalist or whatever, and you know, their head would explode, or they, you know, attack you or whatever. But statistically, I mean, again, this is just a statistical fact. And so I think it's very helpful for us to start thinking about ourselves in that way and going, oh, like maybe the way I've been formed is this weird way that is not particularly valuable for human experience.
Well, I mean, this, just to take a step back and look at this from, you know, you can start seeing how this touches on everything. And I don't want to jump ahead to Friday already.
You know, but we're always looking for the weekend, right? Working for the weekend.
But the authoritarian impulse that we see, empire loves conformity and uniformity so that it can totalize systems. So this is where you get this classic example how, yes, there was a caste systems in India. They were not, there wasn't like a caste system over all of India, just like there wasn't a Hinduism, right? And the Brits come in like, it's Hinduism. We're going to just catalog it as a thing. And then we're going to have a uniform caste system that made any sort of oppression kind of more stratified in a way that's predictable. So it's kind of like this toxic blending of English class society and some of the not great aspects of, you know, the caste system, right? And so you can see like that, but then with gender, right? So it's, we totalize it and say everything has to work this way. And then, you know, this gets to Susan's comment here. No wonder fundy evangelicals are no fans of mysticism. Right? Right. Because evangelicalism, fundamentalism, and different kinds of conservative forms of Christianity and religion are about adhering, obeying certain universal and timeless tenets. And mysticism is not about, it's about a jumping over that and having a direct experience with the divine that's dynamic and recognizing the changing nature of God, which is like hard to grab, to bring together with this sort of fundy thing. Mm-hmm. And so of course, like, so then this is where you get, like, I grew up my whole life up until I became liberal enough to break free from it with an evangelical culture being told to fundamentally distrust my experience. Now, right. I still think I should be question my experiences, but from a more of a contemplative lens, which is not a fundamental self-hatred kind of thing that you have within
these systems. It's way worse than just, you know, questioning your experience. It's in many of these systems, it's, you're fundamentally told that your experience is bad.
Yes, and that you have whatever to submit your will to.
Yeah, I mean, whatever your experience is, it's bad. Right? Your desires are bad. Your thoughts are bad. Your feelings are bad. I mean, all of these things are just bad. You know, as my friend Ren used to say, you know, it's just all basic badness. And that is highly problematic, obviously. If you're really interested in human flourishing and justice.
David brings us, like, so maybe you were thinking of the Dominican Republic, Dan, because David writes the Guevedoches. I don't know how to pronounce that. It sounded more Italian the way I said it. Eggs at 12 is a resource for Dan's comments. So that's at least an example of what.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's another place. Yeah. Thanks.
David also likes A Queering Force in Our Trajectory. That's the name of my next book, Queering Force. Susan writes, what I learned about current research on gender and identity in my recent social psychology class really opened my eyes to the variances in human beings.
Right.
You know, this gets this, you know, that's a great, another example. Like, so you study this stuff and yes, most people probably, like, there's a, you can see a binary if you kind of like squint, but then you have to clip off all these variant experiences. And so people say, it's like less than 5%. Right. And then, so there's that thing, but then the reason why we need to clip off 5% of humanity and throw them away in these sorts of societies is because, like, I don't like, I'm not going to pay attention to experience and diversity. I'm going to pay attention to this universalizing, totalizing interpretation of a text, and all of humanity needs to adhere to it. Otherwise it is fallen and broken. And anyone who says, pay attention to this 5%, I don't know what the percentage is. I just, so people know, 5% is what I'm throwing out there as an example. I'm not going to pay attention to those 5%. I'm not going to pay attention to trans people, because that'll cause me to have to not be obedient to the word of God. Like,
right.
It's well, so toxic.
And then, you know, so all biological manifestations exist on some kind of a bell curve. There's always variance, right? And so you say, oh, well, we're going to clip off the 5% because that's the most obvious, quote unquote. Yeah. Well, but then that mentality, what does that do? Then it says, oh, yeah, then we're going to take the next standard deviation in, and we're not going to, like, ignore them, but we're going to stomp on them and oppress them so that they want to feel like they want to push more towards the middle. And really what we're trying to do is pay only attention to the mythical mean, right? Which then everybody else has to feel shitty because they can't make that up. Yeah. They can't conform to that, right? And so really that clipping off of the edges is just sort of the beginning of the oppressive process, which then continues to work in and encompasses almost everybody at the end of the day. I mean, you know, we were talking about that a little bit last Wednesday. Catherine was bringing that up. It's like, you know, in the end, everybody is made to feel bad about this and oppressed, just like, you know, racism affects everybody. You know, white people are malformed by this as well as the effects, negative effects it has on Black folks. You know, and that's that thing. Once you start denigrating part of humanity, you end up denigrating all of humanity in some way, shape, or form. And that's what we don't see. And I think that's what, you know, mysticism and spirituality really tries to do to help wake us up to, right? Is that God's love, enlightenment, however you want to put it, whatever tradition, is really for everyone. And that's what drives, you know, fundamentalists insane, right? Yeah. All right.
Goes along with what Susan is writing here. It's worse than that, Ash. Not only they don't pay attention, but actively oppose and seek to destroy them. You know, and this, you know, and this is the thing. Like empires can seem, authoritarian systems can be a little benevolent towards deviation insofar as they feel confident and sturdy. And so this is where, like, so capitalist society can tolerate a little bit of this stuff. And then when it feels under threat, then it shifts towards fascism. So like the intensity with which things are destroyed really has to do with the level of security in a system. And right now we're seeing, and this is where it gets frustrating to the point of me getting mad sometimes, when progressive people assume that things are just going to naturally be getting better, and that are like things are better for trans folks and queer folks, and so maybe we should, you know, back off with the vehemence with which we disagree with Dave Chappelle. I'm like, well, no, you don't understand. Like Dave Chappelle now, just to bring him back in, if all of a sudden you have progressive seeming people sharing talking points with conservatives on a cusp of a conservative shift towards fascism, which we have in our society, we're at kind of at the still at this point. I know Trump isn't in office, but we didn't leave this point.
No,
things can actually get worse for people because our system is still under feeling under threat.
Mm-hmm.
Ellen writes, Ellen writes, I'm sure I could trace my mysticism through that funny Bible study workbook, Experiencing God. I actually, you know, I did that. Henry Blackaby wrote Experiencing God. And he was a Southern Baptist in Canada talking positively about
that's the first problem right there. Southern in Canada. Those just two don't
well, Southern Baptist, that means they're from like Ontario. But I mean, it's interesting though, like, cause it was conservative and reinforced a certain fundamentalist worldview, but at the same time, lots of other fundamentalists hated it because it still said, God can tell you directly things.
That's right. Yeah.
Which is threatening. Yeah. Susan writes that self-loathing programming is incredibly hard to shake off. It's an evil theology. Yeah. It is. Where are we at? Okay. And Ellen also, this is good. If anybody wants to add more statistics, like I just picked a number. I should have just not picked a number because I
can't do that. Well, whatever.
Way more than 5%, dear. Just intersex alone is as many as redheaded people. And if you look at Gen Z, well, I guess the gay agenda won.
Now, you know, this does bring up a very interesting thing that is very clearly happening in our society, which is that, you know, something is going on biologically in relation to physical sexuality. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you kind of highlight that there, Ellen, that you look at the different generations and, you know, something is shifting. You know, the age at which puberty is starting is getting younger. The number of kids that are identifying in different ways does seem to be changing. And I think this has a lot to do with what's happening in our environment. And you see this in other creatures. And again, people are like, oh my God, you know, this never happens, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, it happens all the time. There are a lot of creatures that in response to different environmental shifts, things change. And so it's, you know, this is no surprise to me at all. What is important, though, in my mind, is how is it that humans respond to these changes and to each other? Mm-hmm. And so much of the way we respond, depending on our individual formation, is with a great deal of negativity and hostility and violence. And that's where the problem comes, right? We are not formed to be able to roll with different changes.
Well, and this is, you know, the issue of, you know, grade and middle school students. I hear this particularly about them, going by they, them, and wanting to change the name they're addressed by, and different people I know who are even progressive rolling their eyes at that, which I understand. Like, there's some, the fickleness of children is easy to roll your eyes at. But the thing that I get frustrated with this thing about is because people will tell me, like, they'll try to be affirming to me, and then they'll make fun of middle schoolers trying to deviate from the norm, as though the assumption is that we, as long as there's still a big normal, we can tolerate some of this stuff, but we don't want to get carried away. And so, you know, I've had this conversation with, like, well, if we don't know what Jesus's sexuality is, a great conversation topic. People want to assume he's asexual. And I'm like, we don't know. And they're like, well, he was probably straight and chose not to be.
I'm not sure about that.
Why did my device to speak in the voice of Samuel L. Jackson for some reason? I know that's a feature, but I don't know how I just triggered that. That was weird.
That was Jesus talking about his sexuality right there.
That's it. It makes sense that Jesus sounds like Samuel L. But my point was, so the assumption is, like, people want to assume that, you know, let's just assume Jesus was straight. People will just do that. I'm like, well, why? Let's just assume, if we don't, like, let's not get carried away. And I had a socialist Facebook friend freaking out because he went to a baby's party and they said they weren't going to do a gender reveal because, like, they don't know how the child is going to be self-identify. And they're like, oh my God, everything's running amok. I'm like, well, would it be so bad if, like, we just didn't assume anything about gender?
I mean, to me, what's running amok is that you're having gender reveal parties at all.
Yeah, like, there's, you know, there's so much stuff. Like, are we going to assume that blue and pink is normative? Like, so all this is my little side rail via Samuel L. Jackson conversation. The point is, like, why even progressive people, if their sense of normal gets threatened, will start getting shitty. And this is where the Dave Chappelle stuff comes in. Like, so, again, whereas Susan wrote a comment, where the progressives find common ground with conservatives on Dave Chappelle maybe is the fear of censorship. Why does comedy get a free pass on oppressive and harmful ideas? And, you know, it's like the idea of cancel culture only becomes a problem when something is being canceled that you think isn't that bad. Because most everyone will agree that there's some areas where we should cancel, like where we should probably stop giving money to different people. And again, every system will have its sense of normal. And the question I really want to pose to people out there, do we really want gender binary to be kind of the general normal? Or are we willing to blow the whole thing up? And what is, if we're willing to be very flexible and dynamic about this and very discernment based, what would society look like?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ellen says, oh, go back. It's Victoria says, it seems like normal people need the different types of people to justify themselves in the end.
Yeah, that's well, and that's, yeah, I mean, and that's part of, you know, the basic, what we call ego formation process, right, in contemplative psychology, is that, you know, we get formed into some very solid way of looking at the world, whatever that happens to be. And then we start identifying what is self and what is other. Right? And that, and so you always will get some aspect of that in human society, where one of the ways we understand who we are is against something else. And that always leads to violence and destruction.
Ellen points out, but Ash, the arc of history bends towards justice. Yeah, sometimes it's like,
only if you're gonna up and stomp on it. But, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot recently. When you know I go out and about into rural areas, right? And you know, the number of these huge pickup trucks without mufflers being driven by really pissed off looking white guys is way on the increase. I mean, it just, you know, you just see this all over the place. And, you know, this is the Trumpian army that is really threatened and really angry and perfectly ready to roll back whatever, quote, progress has been occurring, because they don't see it as progress. They see it as an attack on their whiteness and on their maleness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're ready to start killing people. So, yeah, I mean, that notion that, oh, everything's always getting better without any sort of blips. Yeah, no, not at all.
We're past time.
And Joseph has a great comment that maybe could be a start for our Wednesday thing.
Joe writes, do you think investment in identifying as heterosexual or something? Or we should be actively chipping away at? Or is it enough to be inclusive or accepting others' queerness? I'm not sure, like the sentence kind of got a little bit kind of wonky in the middle there. So I'm not exactly sure what you're asking. But my takeaway is, should we be chipping away at the idea of heterosexuality and just like any sort of normativity altogether? Or should we just be accepting? I mean, it's a great question. That's mm-hmm. how I'm hearing it, which would be.
Yeah, worth that'd be a great thing to. Yeah, let's start off on Wednesday. And to me, the key line in your key word in your question there is the issue of investment.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because what oppressive systems do is put a huge amount of investment, often oppressive mm-hmm. negative investment, into what is normal. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, so I think that's kind of a great way to look at it, is like, where do we put our energy and our direction and our caring and compassion? What sort of view of reality are we investing in?
Yep.
That was Samuel Jackson. Oh, wait.
Gender reveal parties are the joke for sure.
Yeah. Especially when they involve pyrotechnics and starting fires and blowing yourselves up.
Ellen writes, you said, we're just not sure. Did Samuel L. say, I'm not sure what the, I don't know. I can't remember what. Yeah,
it was so jarring.
I'm so overwhelmed. Ellen writes, in Victorian times, pink was a boy color for sure. And then, you know, you see these pictures of like Teddy Roosevelt dressed in a dress, because parents just dressed kids the same way until a certain point. Like, so in a way, and there was even this sense, like, you don't even differentiate that much until a certain age. So no. Who fuck cares? So I'm like, so even that was pretty damn queer by our standards. And so now people are freaking out that like 8-year-old trans girls are who are assigned male at birth are saying I'm a girl, and then like, oh, the parents are abusive. Like, people just jump to that now. They're so freaked out about the idea of not maintaining a gender norm up until the kid is past puberty and 18, and then they can decide for themselves what they want to do with their Adam's apple. Like, that kind of, you know. Yeah. Ms. Danger writes, and this is a good point, as far as LGBTQ awareness and acceptance like that is increasing, and therefore many people are coming out. People are more able to safely come out right now, generally. And so they are. Now, and this is the thing.
And that is true. You know,
there's more social acceptance in some areas, for sure.
Yeah, and if you look at America within this 70-year or so time frame, right? Again, if you look at other cultures and other times, we're still way repressive, relatively speaking. But yes, in the current trajectory of our society over the last 70 years, that is absolutely true.
Well, and just again, just to double down on this, think about what we're communicating when we tell a middle schooler, like, you don't have to decide anything, they, them, just stick, you're a girl for now. Or we roll our eyes that they want to have be addressed differently. What we're saying is we want it to be safe to be queer, but not that safe.
All right. We really need to finish
I'm
these up.
Of those white guys.
Yeah. Enough. It's a good reason to be.
Yeah. Neil writes, you don't have to go into rural areas to see huge pickups here. Come visit Houston.
Yeah, I would believe that.
Or go to the Schooner Bar parking lot. In the episode, yeah. Ellen writes, maybe I'll have a coming out party and call it a gender reveal. Yeah. You can only come to the party through deep meditation after receiving your telepathic invite.
Okay. Now you're getting a little out of hand.
Is something. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Susan writes, sorry to be so chatty today. I have a day off work. No, that's great. And really enjoyed fully focusing on the convo today. Thank you both.
Yeah. We fully appreciate you focusing.
Ms. Danger writes, yeah, there will be a backlash for the acceptance by reactionaries. It's happened before. It will happen again.
And then, hello from Italy.
Woo! I thought you were going to Spain. You're going to Italy, too?
But,
wow.
That's in Spain. Now they're in fun. Italy. Yeah.
Good food. Ellen writes, and seeing about variety through the internet. Yes. So there's more exposure to possibilities. Like, yeah, so people can now Google their experience and find names for it. That's very powerful. Like, because otherwise you just be like, well, I guess there's just something wrong with me. But then you find out there's a community of a million people who identify with these traits that you have. That's empowering.
Yeah. And then Susan says,
hi, Kathleen. Love you.
All right. All right.
And we love as a end note.
We love all of you. Thank you so much. Great to be with you again. We'll be back on Wednesday.
See you Wednesday. Mm-hmm.